Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
Today we're looking at some of the greatest words you will ever receive from Jesus. In fact, I refer to this as the greatest invitation ever extended to the human race. Here Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." There have been many great classic devotionals down through the years. I have all three volumes of Streams in the Desert. I don't know if you've ever read in those. They're wonderful devotional books. And I also have My Utmost for His Highest, written by Oswald Chambers. And in that one, as I was preparing this message, Oswald Chambers made this comment based upon the words of Jesus that we just read. He said the questions that really matter in life are remarkably few, and they are all answered by the words, "Come to me." I believe that. And I hope with God's help today, I can somehow express some of the reason why I believe that. In contrast to the sin and the ignorance of this world, Paul the Apostle wrote to the church and he said, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come unto the Father except through me." And so this invitation today, Jesus is saying, "Come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." A harness is a single instrument for a horse or an animal. A yoke implies two. A yoke implies a coupling. Sometimes they would yoke a stronger, superior animal to a weaker, inferior animal, and yoking them together. So in this invitation, what we have here is a call to a relationship to the Lord. Being yoked to Him, learning from Him. Jesus did not say here, "Come to me and do this and this and this and you will receive rest. Come to me and I'll answer every perplexing question, every mystery that you've ever had in your mind. I'll answer it all to your satisfaction." He didn't say that. He said, "Come to me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me." He's inviting us into a relationship. And in that relationship, regardless of what we have to walk through and go through in this life, Jesus is saying, "Come to me, I'll give you the truth that you need when you need it. I'll give you the rest that you need when you need it. I'll give you the strength that you need when you need it. I'll give you the wisdom that you need when you need it," as we walk in that relationship to Him. This invitation reveals three things about everyone. Number one, everyone has a burden. You have a burden. I have a burden. Everyone has a burden. Even Jesus on this earth had a burden. There are good burdens, there are bad burdens, there are light burdens, there are heavy burdens, but everyone has a burden. And Jesus said, "My burden is light. Why did he say that? What does that mean? This is a burden. Jesus had a burden that he willingly, joyfully accepted. We hear him expressing it in the very first words that Luke recorded, where Jesus said to his parents, "I must be about my Father's business." You know, sometimes we might hear someone say, "I ought to do thus and so," or "I should do this or that." We might not pay a whole lot of attention to that, but when someone says, "I must," that is the master passion. That is the burden of purpose. Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." One day the disciples came to him and they offered Jesus food for his physical body. And Jesus said to them, "I have food that you do not know of. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Over and over again, Jesus said, "I have come not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." The burden that drove Jesus from day to day and eventually to the cross. Listen to me. That burden was you and me and everyone in the world, every sinner in the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." He came to do that work. Now, in light of that, I want to ask you today, what is the burden of your life? Well, what is it that pushes you out of bed in the morning, that drives you from day to day? You know, someone might say, "Well, you see, my burden is, you know, I have to work. I go to work and I want to do well and I want to accumulate things, and one day hopefully I'll be able to retire and have the American dream," and so forth. Someone else might say, "The burden of my life is I want to do something great in life. I want to accomplish something where people will take notice." There are people who are driven in life by some new adventure, some form of it. They're always seeking excitement, the next new thing. I want to suggest to you that those are not the burdens of your life. Those are the yokes under which you are laboring. The real burden of your life is you. The real burden of my life is me. Because here's the thing, follow me here. When it's all about us, then there's always more work to do, more money to make, more things to possess, more accomplishments to seek to achieve, more adventure that's out there. And that's what people are doing. They're trying to fill up that void, that hole in their lives with things. And if it evolves around self, it will never be fulfilled in and of self. That's why I say that the greatest burden for us is self. The soul is restless until it comes to rest in God. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy." He said, "My burden is light." Let me talk a little bit further about this word yoke. Because see, from our perspective, yoke for us means servitude. It means bondage. When we're yoked to ourselves, when we're yoked to the world, when we're yoked to sin, it brings servitude. It brings bondage. In a very literal sense, a yoke was a heavy collar placed on the necks of oxen to drive them in labor. And in a similar way, the Jews were yoked to the law. You see, God never intended the law to be a heavy yoke of oppression and a heavy burden, and yet that's what they made it. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they put all these heavy burdens, these rules and regulations on people, and it became a yoke of bondage and servitude. And Jesus talked about them, and he said, here they had the people oppressed under that heavy yoke, and Jesus said that they wouldn't even lift one finger to lighten the load. So law without mercy and compassion is a grievously heavy yoke. But Jesus fulfilled the law when he died on the cross. He paid the price. He satisfied the prophets and the law. I want you to look here at what Paul wrote in Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. I found this great promise of deliverance and healing in the prophet Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Look at this. It shall come to pass that in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Now follow me here. They took Jesus' lifeless body down from the cross. They laid him in a tomb. They anointed him. But 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead as the resurrection and the life, as the healer and the redeemer. And because of that, he said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Folks, listen to me. When we come to him, here's the good news of the gospel. We come to him, we exchange the yoke of bondage, the yoke of sin, the yoke of the law. We exchange it for his yoke of redemption. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a great exchange. What a great exchange. So I want to ask you today, what have you done with the burden of your life? Listen to me. Today, right now, as you sit here, same thing's true for me. As we're here in this place today, only one of two things can be possible. Today you are either abiding in the yoke of Jesus or you're laboring beneath the yoke of sin and death. What is it? Which one is it? And that's why I want to mention this second point that I have today. First of all, everyone has a burden. As long as you're in these physical bodies, in this world, everyone on this earth has a burden. Secondly, everyone has a need for spiritual rest. Come to me, all who are weary. Are you weary today? It's not hard to get weary in this life, is it? Are you weary? Are you burdened? Jesus said, I'll give you rest. And only Jesus can give you rest. I want to tell you today, listen, religion cannot bring rest to your soul. Religion can only bring a quest for your soul. Only Jesus can bring rest for your soul. Muhammad cannot give you spiritual rest. Buddha cannot give you spiritual rest. Political leaders cannot give you spiritual rest. Not even the church can give you spiritual rest. Only Jesus can give you spiritual rests. That's what he offers today. When you get a chance, sometime today, this week, sometime, if you're reading in your Bible, read, say, the first four chapters of Hebrews, because there, a lot of the subject there is talking about rest this subject that I'm mentioning here. And it talks about how God's people, Israel, in the wilderness, they rebelled, they tested God, and they failed to enter His rest. God said they would not enter into His rest. And I want to tell you today, there's a lot of things that can be said about hell. We could say a lot of different things, descriptions about hell or whatnot. One of the bottom line is, if hell is anything, it is separation from God. There is no rest in hell. There is no peace in hell. But thank God this morning, brothers and sisters, because of what Jesus did for us, we have a promise of entering into His rest. Look at this. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. You don't want to come short of God's rest. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience, because they were rebellious and disobedient. They failed to enter God's rest. That should not be true for us today. And Jesus is offering. We're still in a day of grace. He's offering us spiritual rest. Come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you true rest. I was thinking about the prophet Elijah. He needed some physical rest. Sometimes we need... How many of you know that the physical body is connected to our souls? There's the physical and the spiritual. They're connected. If we get physically worn out, it affects us spiritually. If we get spiritually worn out, it affects us physically. The prophet Elijah, he ran from Jezebel and Ahab, and he was all physically weary and depressed and discouraged. Oh God, I want to die. He cried out. I just want it to end. Please let me die. But he also needed spiritual, not only physical rest, but he needed spiritual rest. And God ministered to him and brought healing and rest to his soul. Let me share with you the last thought that I have on this message today. Because what's important to me when I say these words is, perhaps at the end of this service, as our song leaders come, that maybe you'd like to come today. Come to Him. Here's number three. Everyone who is weary, burdened, and in need of rest has the opportunity. Like I said, today's still the day of grace. Everyone has the opportunity to come to Jesus. Why would anybody not come to Jesus? This invitation, let me say three things about this. It's personal. This is personal and inclusive. It's you. It's me. It's every sinner in the world. Come. Come to Him. But you have to come on His terms. There are people today, they're trying to create their own Jesus, right in the church even. Church leaders. They're trying to make up their own rules. Create the Jesus that they want. You know, all love, all grace. Jesus said, take up your cross. You come to me. You come to me, you take up your cross and follow me. He's the one that provides the guidelines and the rules that we follow. But He's giving us this invitation. It's personal. And then, it's also present. It's now, right now. You can sit here this morning if you're not saved. If there's someone here that's not saved, you could sit here and think, oh, I'll give this some thought. I'll consider it. That's what Felix did. He was right at the door of salvation, but he said, at a more convenient time, that time can come and go. I believe it's the prophet Jeremiah where they said, the summer has ended, the harvest is past, and we're not saved. They just kept putting it off. People today are putting it, they're gambling with their souls, they're putting it off. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. And the good news today is God's present. You know, as parents and grandparents, oh, I'm so excited today because my daughter and my son-in-law, even though he's British, he's okay. But they're coming in from Africa. They got into the airport in Washington, D.C., and then they spent the night in Hagerstown. And they're going to be here about 1 or 2 o'clock this afternoon. And my two little grandsons, you know, they're coming in. And so we're excited by that. But, you know, as parents and grandparents, we're not always present. We can't be everywhere all the time. The good thing about God is that he can be. And he is. He's a very present help in trouble, according to Psalm 46, verse 1. Aren't you glad for that today? And then, the last thing I want to say here today, this invitation that I'm talking about, which I said was perhaps the greatest invitation ever extended to the human race. It's possible. It's possible. Yes, it is. It's true. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. If anyone will open the door, he's not going to force you. God will never force you against your will. You have to open the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'm going to come in. You come to me. The door's open. Come to me. And he's there waiting for us to come. How come we don't? How come we don't come to Jesus more often? How come we don't come to him continuously? Because let me just say here this morning. The world out there is saying, come. Oh, they're giving that message all the time. Come. The world cannot bring rest to your soul. The world cannot bring fulfillment to your soul. Technology cannot bring rest to your soul. You can sit there all day long staring at that phone in your hand. It's not going to bring rest to your soul. It's going to create a bigger hole in your life. There's my sermon on technology. Religion. I've always said that I think one of the devil's biggest tool, if not the biggest tool, is religion. Binding people with a religious quest to keep them from the truth of Jesus. Religion is saying come to people. Religion cannot bring rest and peace and salvation. Only Jesus. Jesus is the living, incarnate Word of God, the Son of God, the Redeemer, the only Redeemer. The only one who can save you. The only one who can give you true spiritual peace and rest in your life.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through his word. Blessings.